ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters inshallah I would like to welcome you all to the second night of our Ramadan program the Ramadan program lecture series is titled The Victorious Lion of Allah The Life of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Inshallah, to start off tonight's program, I would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Abbas for some recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا الملك القدوس السلام السلام المؤمن المهيمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
أحسنت brother Ali, if we could please get another loud salawat على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, just a few announcements before we start. Inshallah, the program will continue Sunday, and then inshallah, please keep updated with our other announcements through our WhatsApp chat and different social media pages to get some more information, as we'll provide weekly overviews on what's happening in that week throughout the Shahr Ramadan, inshallah. Inshallah, we do have our books in the back. There's also the 30-part Quran for each juz that is also available in the back, so feel free to look at those different items. And then lastly, we want to make sure that Hadi families do feel very welcome and consider this as a place where kids are welcomed and nurtured. We have a classroom downstairs for nursing moms, and we do have the cafeteria downstairs if kids do need to let off some more energy or they need to run around. We ask to utilize that space downstairs, inshallah. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our dear scholar, Sheikh Osama, with three loud salawat. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a short video before, and inshallah, we'll have the lecture after that, inshallah. Salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
برای فلسطینی ها می کردم این نکته رو ذکر کردم. انتظار دارم روزی بیاد که آیت الله خمینی عبا رو به دوش بکشه و بگه به سوی فلسطین و تمام مسلمان ها به پشت این مرد به سوی فلسطین هجوم بیارن و این سرزمین رو آزاد بکنند. انشاءالله اون روز خواهد آمد و برادرانی که چنین آرزوی رو دارن که در راه بیت المقدس و آزادی فلسطین شهید بشن باید منتظر اون روز باشن و مسلمان در اون روز جوانان و جنگندگان عمل هم در کنار شما پشت آقای خمینی خواهند بود.
Inshallah, throughout the different programs, we will be playing some different clips as we come closer to Yom Al-Quds, as we prepare, inshallah, we do our responsibility and we live up and make sure to speak about the issues of Palestine and all the oppressed around the world. With that being said, inshallah, please help me welcome Sheikh Osama with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. If I haven't gotten the opportunity to tell you personally, then right now I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to each and every one of you. Now, this year's lecture series is going to be about the victorious lion of Allah. Inshallah, we're going to have six sessions. It should have been seven, but Allah had better plans. Six sessions, inshallah, and we're going to talk about Imam Ali and get to know him a little better. Now, we want to come away with practical inspiration so we're able to be ready for the wali of the time. You and I, we serve a living Imam. We want to be ready for him. We're trying to get inspiration from the life of Ali to serve that living Imam. But before I get into that, I think it's appropriate that I mention one of the greatest Shia jurists of all times. The Ayatollah that we want to commemorate today is Ayatollah Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, and he was truly exceptional. Not only was he a bona fide genius, but also a great man of taqwa. And he is someone who all of us should appreciate, should remember, should tell our children about. He was martyred yesterday, meaning it will be about 42 years now. In 1980, he was martyred. And actually, that's one of the greatest of the crimes that Saddam Hussein did. He did many terrible crimes, did a lot of wrong things. One of the worst things that he ever did was to rob humanity, and especially us believers, of the barakah, of the presence of this man. If he had lived, you listen to Imam Khamenei speak, he talks about the future hope of Islam. That was who this man was. So allow me to say a few words about him. We can remember him and his contributions, what he did for us, and then after that, inshallah, we'll talk about the main topic. So he was not only a faqih, right? He was a marja, and that itself would be enough of an honor. But we're talking about someone who was an Islamic thinker, a philosopher, someone who was able to anticipate the needs of the Islamic world and to come up with solutions for them. We in the Hausa, by the grace of God, we were able to benefit from his teachings, from his books, right? And indirectly, the Islamic Ummah was able to benefit. But I want brothers and sisters to remember, most of his books were written before he became a marja, right? Who are we deprived of? Most of his books were written before he becomes a marja. When does he become a marja? He became a mujtahid when he was 13. He becomes a marja when he's 37. And then many people might be a mujtahid, but be a marja, be a'lam, right? Amongst the most learned scholars, who isn't one of them? So he's someone who, when he passed, he's the only personality that Imam Khomeini, for 3 days he announced there'll be mourning for him. 3 days. So a little bit about this man and who he was and who we lost. And inshallah, his words of inspiration for us. So now, this shaheed, he was a bona fide genius. Now again, a marja is of above average intelligence. These are people who are extremely talented, extremely hardworking. They can do things you and I can't. Incredible memories. Right? We're talking the best of the best. The elite are our marjas. Amongst our maraja, and you hear even the leader speaking about, normally the marja, they're most qualified, the most talented. Amongst the maraja, he was next level when it comes to being a genius. Now, but he wasn't only an academic, this man. It wasn't only that he wrote books. It wasn't only that he would write articles, that he would teach classes, that he would train people. Right? That was only part of his contributions. The other part of his contributions are going to be struggle, sacrifice, and bravery. This is someone who, when Sayyid Hasan Nasrullah talks about him, he talks about his ikhlas. And again, all these are inspiration for someone. For someone to be a marja, a genius, right? He says, for this man, it was never about me, my titles, my achievements. Everything for him was Allah and the cause. What does the cause need? We're talking about someone who made bay'ah to Imam Khomeini. He himself was a marja. Bay'ah to Imam Khomeini. Who talks about that? Shaheed Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. Bay'ah. He openly supported the revolution. Not hidden. Openly supported the Imam. He knew what it was all about. You know what he would tell his closest companions? Inshallah, we take that as a lesson for us. Hopefully we can do that for our living imam as we try to pave the way. What did he tell his closest companions? Those who would listen to him. Those who would make benefit of him. He says, "Dhubu fil imam al-Khomeini." Melt yourselves. Immerse yourselves. Fil imam al-Khomeini kama dhaba fil Islam. As Imam Khomeini has melted himself into Islam. So this man was martyred, and we know he and his sister were martyred, they were tortured, right? He famously said it was haram for anyone to join the Ba'athist party. And he paid the ultimate price, the torture, because unfortunately he wasn't supported as he should have been. We hope that we as the masses of the Muslim Ummah were able to support our wali. That's when Islam becomes victorious. So I'd like brothers and sisters to join me in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha for his soul, but preceded by Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So, brothers and sisters, now, we're going to have indeed the pleasure of talking about Amirul Mu'mineen. And we get a chance to do it for 6 nights. And believe me, brothers and sisters, both doing the research, you all know hearing about Imam Ali, but there are some questions that might come to mind, and the reasons that I chose this topic for the Hadi family, both us here and then also our extended Hadi family who are with us online. Why talk about Amirul Mu'mineen? Why 6 days? What are we trying to do? What are the goals? What are the objectives? And I want to mention them very clearly in the beginning for brothers and sisters. And then, brothers and sisters, with that mindset, inshallah, we'll be trying to take benefit from the life of the Imam. The first question is, well, why not talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I guess it must be Ramadan. The salawats are really the fasting. Because we're going to be talking about Imam Ali, right? We're going to talk about him from his birth to the bi'atha. And then from the bi'atha to the hijrah. And the hijrah, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, we'd like to talk up into the sad demise of the Prophet. A lot this Imam did, right? But why talk about him and not talk about our Prophet first? It's important to talk about the Prophet. Is this because we, as followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we put him on a higher pedestal than Rasulullah, mathalan? Is that, for example? And the answer, of course, is no. Alhamdulillah, at this same time, my brother, Sheikh Mahdi Rastani, is doing a wonderful lecture series on the seerah of the Prophet. So inshallah, we're able to benefit from that lecture series. We know Amirul Mu'mineen famously said that I'm an abd min abidi Muhammad. I'm a slave of the slaves of Muhammad. If we hear or learn about him, it's only to then know, well, who was the Prophet then? So that's one. It's also not to downplay, to belittle the contributions of the other ashab of Rasulullah. Those were great men and women. People who did things that you and I, these were the first Muslims. Whatever we're doing right now is because of the barakah of those Muslims. Right? We're talking about the Sumayyas of the world, the first Shahida. Ammar's father, Yasir. So companions who were branded, you and I, we haven't been tortured for being a Muslim, branded and would hold on to the faith. Right? So we're not downplaying them. Some of them we might not even know their names, to let alone remember their contributions. So it's not to downplay any of that. Of course we respect that. Inshallah, brothers and sisters are able to take advantage of those lectures, hear about those individuals. It would be good of us, it would behoove us to actually have just to know who those individuals were, right? But still, having said that, no matter who the other companions were, Amirul Mu'mineen is simply something different. We're talking about an imam. It's different. Other companions were great. Other companions sacrificed. But Amirul Mu'mineen? Allow me, brothers and sisters, just to mention one of the verses of the Quran. Because remember, according to the most well-known opinion, they say Amirul Mu'mineen was around 12 years old when the Prophet announces his mission. The Bi'tha, he's 12 years old. But there's other opinions that say that he was 9. Let's take the well-known opinion, right? How old was he then 13 years later at the time of the hijrah? If he's 12, add 13 years, a 25-year-old, what had he done that the people, I'm going to mention a verse of Quran, the people in Mecca were supposed to know enough about Imam Ali that for him, his testimony to the Risala of Rasulullah, that and God's testimony are enough for somebody to say, I bear witness that he is Rasulullah. Who is this person? In 25 years, this is before Nahjul Balagha, this is before the battles of Uhud and Badr that we've heard about, this is before he runs the Islamic Empire, right? Before all of that, what had he done? Let me read you the verse of Quran, that his testimony along with God's is enough for us to go over and say, well, this person must be a prophet of Allah. So a little bit about this. Salawat, please.
صل على
محمد وآل محمد. So this is what God says in the Quran, right? Because we want to get to know him, appreciate him, find out, our goal is to be able to introduce him to our children, to learn how to introduce, one of our goals of this lecture series, let's learn how to introduce Ahlul Bayt, Amirul Mu'mineen in particular, but Ahlul Bayt in general, to our children. You and I, in the Hadi family, we take a lot of importance on trying to raise our children right. We learn both how to lead by example and to model good behavior and to create that warm and loving home so that we can create the grounds for our children to be ibadur rahman. That's one of the things that we try to do. We try to learn how to interact with one another in order to model that good behavior. But brothers and sisters, there's something else that if we were gifted with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would make raising our children that much easier, and that is if we had a personality that our children could look at and they could measure their actions through this person, a role model, someone who you and I could say, what Ali did was this, and our child will be like, yes. Right? The way that he's introduced by Ahlul Bayt is that he is Mizanul A'mal. Right? Amirul Mu'mineen is, he's the scale. Mizanul A'mal. One of our goals to try over this 6 nights is to come away with the techniques. How do we introduce the Ahlul Bayt to our families? Now, side point, and then after that, that ayat that I promised you. What ulama tell us is this. We hear this from ulama who are specialists when it comes to child rearing. They tell us, you and I don't have to worry about proving intellectually, proving the existence of God to our very small children, to prove his existence. Our children, when they're very young, are born on the fitrah. They know God. They're acquainted with him. Our job is to not mess up this amana that's in our hands. Otherwise, our children, with their fitrah, they're acquainted with Allah. They love the godly. Everything that's godly, our children automatically love. What do we have to do when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to introduce him correctly. Do I have to prove that there isn't even a God? No, no. The kids know that. Introduce him correctly so that your introduction of God is accurate. When you do that, it'll take care of itself. Now, Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. And I commend those brothers and sisters who had the wisdom to bring their children with them to listen to the majalis, to take this institute as their home and their children's home, right? Those who are most valuable and most vulnerable, and that they grow up in the majlis of Ahlul Bayt. It's easier for you and I as a parent to sit at home, we can watch on TV. It's more difficult to have our children become part of the majlis, listen, get used to it, see mommy and daddy, go to the majlis, they're regular mosque attendees. That's more difficult, but it's the right way. The instructions we talked about, this was before, when we talked about Ghadir, I don't know if brothers and sisters remember this hadith, where it says, the role of parents, فَلْيُبَلَّغَ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ. When it comes to the events of Ghadir, the people who are present, the shahid, are supposed to tell those who are absent, the ghaib. What else? Wal walid al walad ila yawm al qiyamah. Also, the parents have a responsibility to tell this to their children until yawm al qiyamah. So one part is that we attend the right majlis. We make sure we're getting the right information. The second part is our role in the home, that our children, inshallah, they see that we're parents who've never lied to them, who've always been loving to them, who stood for the right principles. And then that parent because the most trusted person for small children are their parents, that person tells me about Ali, it's going to be different. So again, you and I, we're trying to, that first goal, the idea of realizing who he is, appreciating who he is, and then later we repeat these stories. We tell the fada'il and the manaqib of Imam Ali. So now back to that verse. So before the hijrah, right, Imam Ali is at a stage. The verse that I'm going to share with you is a Mecca verse. It's revealed in Mecca. So it's talking to who? The kuffar, the mushrikeen, those who haven't accepted Islam. About Imam Ali in Mecca. This is before Medina and what he's done over there. What does God say? Surah 13, verse number 43. God says this. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. Those who disbelieve, the kuffar, they say that you're not a prophet. You haven't been sent by God. This is all a lie. Now, in Islam, we have a principle. In Islam, you and I, we don't accept things without proof. Islam is not a religion where it says, no, you don't need intellectual conviction. No, you do need intellectual conviction. That's one of the first of the three conditions for faith. Intellectual convictions. Don't accept something without proof. The nubuwwah of our prophet is not an exception to the rule. Proof. What's the proof? God says in the Quran, he instructs the prophet to say this to the mushrikeen. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Sufficient for me is Allah as a witness between me and you, as long as God says. What's the proof of God? The Quran. The miracles. A wise God, because a miracle is something that can't be learned or taught. It can't be defeated. It goes on beyond the abilities of a human being. Mu'jiza is something, knowledge goes to a certain extent, and then those who are specialists, they admit, what you just did is beyond the capacities of a human being. We have a hadith about this. That in the time of Nabi Isa, they were very advanced in medicine, but Nabi Isa could bring the dead back to life. So the specialists were like, okay, right? But bringing the dead back to life? In the time of Nabi Musa, they were magicians. But then making the staff into a literal snake, right? The Quran was a miracle. There is no way a wise God would give a miracle that couldn't be turned, couldn't be learned, couldn't be taught, couldn't be defeated, unbreakable, unbeatable, and then give that to someone who is claiming to be a prophet, that would lead to the misguiding of mankind, right? So Allah is sufficient as a witness between me and you. Who else? Amir al-Mu'mineen now. Before the hijrah. وَمَنْ عَنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. And the person who possesses all of the knowledge of the book. And of course, the Quran elaborates. There's a story, a famous story in the Quran, where God tries to give us a little bit of an idea. What is a person like who has even some of the knowledge of the book? For you and I to guess, who must Ali have been? It's a very famous story in the Quran. You and I remember it, where in the time of our prophet, Nabi Sulaiman, Bilqis is going to come to his presence. And Bilqis had this magnificent throne. In addition to the kingdom and all those things, she had this magnificent throne. And now before Bilqis comes to the presence of Nabi Sulaiman, he asks, who can bring me her throne before she comes here? And an ifrit from the jinn got up. He said, I can bring it from Yemen. Before you even get up from your seat, I can do that. And then there was somebody else. The Quran says that this person had ilmun min al-kitab, a little bit of the knowledge of the book, the wasi'ah of the Prophet. He said that I can bring it to you, the throne of the Queen of Sheba, before you bat your eye. I can do that, right? Now, what's the comparison of this person's knowledge to the knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen? And this is Mecca. So what we're trying to do, our first goal, was to try and know who our imam is, appreciate our imam, learn how to introduce him to our children. Of course, we want to learn more about him ourselves. Now, having said that, and of course I should admit this, maybe I should have said this even before this, it doesn't mean that in six lectures we're going to be able to cover everything. This is by no means exhaustive. There are too many of the fada'il of Imam Ali. The Prophet says this in that beautiful hadith. He says, لَوْ أَنَّ الْغِيَاثَ أَقْلَامٌ. If the trees of the forest were pins, وَالْبَحْرُ مِدَادٌ, and the seas were ink, وَالْجِنُّ حِسَابٌ, and the jinn were the ones who were making the calculation, وَالْإِنْسُ كتاب, and the people were the scribes, he says, مَا أَحْسَوْ فَضَائِلَ عَلِي ابْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So still, they wouldn't have been able to enumerate the fada'il of Imam Ali. Of course, you and I, six lectures, me, myself speaking, we're not going to be able to cover all of that. Some big level points, some important lessons that we want to get out of it. What's our second goal? The second goal in choosing these lectures, brothers and sisters, is reform. This is the month to better ourselves. This is the month to change ourselves. I want to mention, after I mention this story, a beautiful hadith of the Prophet that tells us what our responsibility is for the month of Ramadan. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But the idea is, in hearing these lessons and the greatness of Imam Ali, that we reform ourselves. When we see his stances, what he did, what he under which circumstances, that we look inwardly, not just celebrating his greatness, what do I have to do for my wali? Because otherwise, brothers and sisters, it might be the case that believers go through difficulty. Actually, this goes both ways. It doesn't matter if you go through an easy life and you have all of the things that Allah wants to give the believer to have the good life, or you go through a difficult life and challenges and bala. It's not just about going through these difficulties. It's about how you and I make use of the difficulties or the good things. Somebody might have a very challenging life and not use that as an opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody else might be gifted with the good things, the goodly life, and still not use that opportunity. It could be neutral, which will be a loss, or either the difficulties or the blessings make me a worse person. Why am I mentioning this? Because the month of Ramadan is the time, I mentioned the hadith, it's a time for reform. The test of Imam Ali was a different test. Some of the people who failed that unique test of Ali ibn Abi Talib had the trait of jealousy, hasad. Their hasad was an internal trait. You're there in the presence of Imam Ali. You're watching him at Khaybar. But I didn't work on myself. I then take a sword and fight Imam Ali. Reform, brothers and sisters, using this opportunity in the month of Ramadan to better ourselves, to identify our flaws and our weaknesses and the areas where we're not doing so well in, muraqabah, muhasaba, to find those areas and then to make serious effort, inshallah, by the right of Mawla, that we're able to better ourselves. Otherwise, it can make us worse. There's a beautiful book. I hope brothers and sisters get a chance to read this book. It's called Cell Number 14. It's a different way of learning about our current wali. Who he is, what he did, what his family was like, what his children were like, the struggle, the sacrifice. He tells an interesting story over there. The story that he's telling is about the fifth time when he's in prison. and the first time where he's tortured severely. He says that I was in prison, and one of the things that they would do in prison is that they would shave the beards of the prisoners. Now, as a Muslim, as a cleric, right, shaving the beard, another way of hurting the individual. He said, so I was just thinking in my own mind, okay, well, they're going to come to me. They're going to shave my beard. What's the Islamic responsibility? Do I resist? Or screaming, struggling, they right? Or do I just, what do I do? He said, in that time, I just asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief. Oh Allah, please don't make me undergo this test. He says, so I'm sitting there in my cell. And the guard opens the door. And he said, before this, I could hear the other prisoners being shuffled out of their shelves, shuffling down to the area, they're shaving them, they bring them back to their cells. Then they open my door, and the guard says, you can stay. And he said, I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this unique gift. Alhamdulillah, in a prison. I have no choice, I'm in the prison. He said, but there was a prisoner who suffered from hasad. And this older gentleman was a cleric, a scholar, an alim. He's in prison, the prison of the Savak. This is the chance for you to go to the top. He was older than the leader. This man in prison, he had severe hasad, and he hadn't worked on himself. Somehow he figured out that the leader has been exempted from having his beard shaved. So they come to him to get him out of his cell. Next day, 2 days later, whenever he found out, they come to him in his cell. When they come to him in his cell, then he says, how come the prisoner in cell number 14 doesn't get his beard shaved? And he said, now he has every right to protest, resist, jihad fi sabilillah, tell them it's not right. Write to the prison authority. Do whatever you... Why mention that there's somebody in cell number 14 who's gotten away from it? How come he doesn't have to shave? Tell your... He tells the guard this. Tell the warden cell number 14 hasn't shaved, and until he shaves, I'm not going to shave. Hasad. The faith can be ruined if this month of Ramadan isn't a chance to do muhasabah, muraqabah, not to be satisfied with where we are. Some of the people through this whole test of the revolution, they're people who have been tested by things you and I can't be and failed. Muraqabah, muhasabah. So that cleric, the warden came in, snatched him out, swearing at him, dragged him out there, shaved him, and then after that they continued to let the leader go. The hasid forgot, the jealous person has forgot, rizq comes from above. You're not really angry at the mahsud, at the person, you're really angry with God. Whatever you want, ask Allah from His grace. Why jealousy? So the month of Ramadan is, as the Prophet has told us, he says that man has, so this is the hadith now, right? The second goal was to reform ourselves by learning the lessons of Imam Ali. He says, man hasana minkum fi hadha shahr khuluqah, whoever beautifies his akhlaq, whoever works to reform himself or herself, to better themselves, not to be the same person who came into the month of Ramadan and then to exit and be the same person. I've just been hungry, I've just been thirsty, but I didn't do that deep inner work on myself. He says, man hasana minkum fi hadha shahr khulqa. He says, kana lahu jawazan ala sirat. The Prophet says, this will be a means for this person to pass on the sirat. The Prophet's promising it. The Day of Judgment, other people, they're falling from the Sirat into Jahannam. That person who used this month for reform, they'll use that. Salawat, please. Salawat. The third objective in this lecture series, brothers and sisters, is practical inspiration from the stances of Ali. Self, bettering the self, but there's also a requirement. If you're going to follow Ali, then there are certain stances that he had, social and political stances. I can't be a follower of Imam Ali and just say, well, he was like that, and not say, well, what did he say to me? One of the things that our Imam advises us is to have the principled stance of standing with the oppressed and standing against the zalim. Why is it that you and I won't let Yemen go? Why will we be there on the day of Quds? Why do we support the Yemenis when they were able to strike those facilities in Saudi Arabia? First they struck Dubai, that woke some people up. Then after that they struck those facilities. Now you see that resistance pays. Now they want to have negotiations. The Palestinians, those heroes, 70 years, how many years do you and I have to watch those images of children being beaten? Those mothers whose children were captured when they were 13, who say that when I want to remember my son, I smell his shirt. Children being tortured. And some of these videos we've seen with our own eyes. Then we're surprised that the Palestinians respond righteously and attack Tel Aviv. Amir al-Mu'mineen taught us to have this stance. He told his sons, وَكُونَا لِلظَّالِمِ خَصْمًا. If you want to be a follower of Ali, you've got to be a khasm, an enemy of the zalimin. Not just the Yazid of that time, the Muawiyah of that time, the Yazid of today. وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا. You have to support the oppressed.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Now the last goal, the fourth goal, and the reason for discussing Amir al-Mu'mineen and all of those things, because he is really madhar al-ajaib. He really, like, there's so many strange things you're going to see from his beginning, is to appreciate something. I want to talk, inshallah, if there's time, at least talk a little bit about his birth. But again, each one of his steps, what did he do before the hijrah? What did he do in the time of the Prophet? How was he involved in the security apparatus? So many things. What did he do? There's so many things. There's stories where Imam Ali, if we get a chance to talk about them, where he is facing an army of 30,000 men. The Battle of Hunain, where the Muslims finally thought that their numbers were enough. And some of the Muslims said it out loud. 12,000 of the Muslims. They went into that valley of Hunain. And all those believers ran. Then Imam Ali was standing there, right? Abu Jarwal, that champion. Inshallah, we'll get a chance to make it to that. But the fourth point, why discuss the life of Imam Ali? Now, this is something for you and I, as the children of Imam Khomeini, for us to really ponder over. Imam Khomeini said something very deep. He said that the wilaya of the faqih, we're not talking about the maqam of Ahlul Bayt. The maqam of Ahlul Bayt, even Anbiya weren't like Amir al-Mu'mineen. We're not talking about that. Practically speaking, the wilaya of Ali ibn Abi Talib is the same as the wilaya of the current faqih. Whatever you would do for Ali, if you really were a big supporter, you're doing it right now for the current wali. Why is it that he is a red line for us? Because Ali is. The wilayah is the same. So what we're trying to do, the fourth objective, is to try to understand a little bit about the importance of the concept of wilaya. Why God would introduce it in this way. To try and really for us to just take a moment, right? And then after that, once this concept is introduced to us in the right way, then inshallah we'll be able to do our responsibility. But we start with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Now, when you want to talk about Imam Ali, again, it wouldn't be fair to not say even a sentence about his parents. If we were going to do it the right way, then obviously we'd have to spend lectures talking about just them. I won't do that. Just a sentence, just to see, again, who is God introducing to us? Who were his parents? His father, Abu Talib, is someone who was the guardian of the Prophet. A muwahid before Islam. Someone who was chosen to be the wasi of Abdul Muttalib. Because Abdul Muttalib knew who the Prophet was, knew how important he was. He had children. He chose Abu Talib as the one who was most worthy of this task. And he guaranteed him, he said, because he was taking a wasiyah to him, he's like, he's my son. The iman of the father of Imam Ali was such that Imam Sadiq says this. He says, because we're talking about the mu'min of Quraysh, the same way that the mu'min in the Quran, the mu'min of Fir'aun's time, Alu Fir'aun, that person, he used to hide his faith. The mu'min of Quraysh, the mu'min, is Abu Talib. How strong was his iman? Just to know again who the parents are before you even know who Ali is. The imam says this. La wudhiya imanu Abi Talib alayhi salam fi kiffatin. If you were to put the faith of Abu Talib on one part of the scale, wa imanu al-khala'iq fil kiffatil ukhra, and then the faith of the entirety of creation other than Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in the other part of the scale, la rajaha imanu Abi Talib. His iman would outweigh theirs. So that's the father. Who was his mother? And again, we don't have time to discuss this, but his mother is someone who is the second mother to our Prophet. She's someone who her spiritual station is so lofty that when the Prophet was born, she could see the spiritual light. She was there with Amina. But that's not enough. We're talking about the first woman that we hear from the books, that the first woman who after Khadija, Sayyida Khadija, who made bay'ah to Rasulullah is Fatima bint Asad. Hijra with Amirul Mu'mineen, inshallah, if we get a chance to talk about her story. So mujahida, resistance, strength, support of the Prophet, loving, preferring the Prophet over her own children, Fatima bint Asad. Her iman was so great that when she died, our Prophet did 70 takbir for her salatul janazah, and he said 70,000 angels participated in her salatul janazah. So that's just a little bit about who the parents were, because again, the parents play a role. The tarbiyah of that kind of a house, which was always, everything was Rasulullah, sacrificing for Rasulullah, even in the time of the Shaykh of Abi Talib, moving the bed of Rasulullah so that other children of Abu Talib sit and the Prophet moves his bed, supporting him the best of food for this kind of a family. Now, the next one is his place of birth, right? And again, you and I remember, how important is wilaya? How's God introducing this topic to us? Where was he born? In the Kaaba. Who was the Kaaba built by? Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi says it's Nabi Adam. Built the Kaaba. After that, it got washed away in the flood of Nuh and then rebuilt by Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Ismail. Jibreel was giving them the instructions. Nabi Isa, and he's one of the Ulul Azm prophets. The only man born without a father. His mother, a Siddiqa. Yet, when it was time for her to deliver Nabi Isa, then her instructions are to leave Baytul Maqdis. But Ali, the Wali, is so special that when the mother of Ali comes up to the Kaaba. And she starts addressing God, making that famous dua. We've talked about it before. The walls of the Kaaba open. She enters, the walls close. The people who are watching, they're like, what is this? They start to rush around the Kaaba. The doors are locked. After 3 days, so now you can imagine, okay, everybody's waiting to see, who is this person? What's going to happen? After 3 days, she comes out and she says that, I have been preferred. I've been given the food of paradise. And God told me to name this newborn Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now, unfortunately, our time is up and I can't keep brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you would like to hear the Fadail of Ali. I would like to say the Fadail of Ali, but we want to stay on track. We need to learn about the next important thing is the training of the Prophet. What does that do? But inshallah, we'll have that for another time. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Thank you so much. Inshallah, we're excited to hear the next five sessions and learn more about Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Inshallah, we thank you all for joining us today. And inshallah, we hope to see you guys tomorrow as well. Doors will open at 6:25. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت